patience for yourself.
Tribulation.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation. Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, October 18th, 2017, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. Coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is U.S. Dollar Crisis and the Soon Coming Massive Disruption. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord God, we bow down. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to be our way of escape to eternal life, Lord. If we will serve him, honor him, and acknowledge him before all men in this life, Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our place upon the cross of Calvary. And in this day, let your word go out around the world by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. We command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of disruption be bound this very hour in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus against you, Satan. You have no power and authority over any child of God. And with that said, we command that you be bound this very hour and cast out in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ against you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, for another captivating episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Ministry Broadcast. My friends, today I have to get my, there we go, I had to get my notes up to where they could be read. With that said, my friends, as we open the show for today, we will be taking a peek at some news that at the moment is being reported on very little and is being pushed into the background as we speak, but will one day soon and very soon be front page breaking news. Over this past summer, I reported to you about America's soon coming cashless society. But let's, for just one moment, take an even further step back in time to refresh our memories concerning the Lord God's mandate for the year 2017. As I have mentioned many times throughout this current year, as well as in years gone by, each year for the last 15 years now, the Lord God has given me a mandate for the upcoming year. And the current mandate for the year 2017 is that 2017 is the year of the dawning of the cashless society. The Lord God has as well already made it clear as for the year 2018 that it will be the year of calamity, of which will no doubt begin with the soon coming massive disruption ultimately caused by the ongoing U.S. dollar crisis, of which Mr. Doug Casey, who Tyler Durden of ZeroHedge.com says is the founder of Casey Research and well known for his forecasting powers, having accurately called the crash of 2008 and many other trends over the last four decades. In his latest interview with Future Money Trends, of which at the time of the writing of this piece was late December 2016, Mr. Durden points out that Casey explains what a Donald Trump presidency will mean for financial markets, economic stimulus, and geopolitics. As he noted previously, 2008 was just the first part of the storm, and we are rapidly approaching the trailing edge of the hurricane. This time around, it's going to last much longer and be much worse than what we experienced before. Moving along, Mr. Casey in more recent days also had this to say concerning the U.S. dollar crisis, and here's a brief summary as to why. The U.S. dollar is in crisis, says Mr. Casey. Trillions of currency units have been printed near zero interest rates. They have done nothing to stimulate the economy, he says. And now up to 40 different countries are leaving the U.S. dollar. He as well goes on to say Federal Reserve members recently held a private meeting in Washington, D.C. to discuss a disruptive new monetary technology that, if implemented, could wipe out the savings of millions of Americans. Now, you may be asking yourself, my friends, I wonder just what this mysterious new disruptive monetary technology is. Well, to answer your question, it is called blockchain technology, of which I have reported on in this broadcast from time to time, and is what is being mulled by the minds of the powers that be to possibly, listen up, my friends, take the place of a person's social security number here in the U.S., and is outlined in this Bloomberg report written by Suzanne Woolley, dated October 9th, 2017, and is titled, Want to Ditch Social Security Numbers? Try Blockchain. Of which Ms. Woolley begins by sharing other countries have found safer alternatives to the nine-digit number that dominates identity in the U.S. She continues by stating, in the wake of the huge Equifax data breach, which compromise the personal information of 145.5 million U.S. consumers, the Trump administration asked the federal departments and agencies to do something very bold. Come up with a new identity system that does not rely on overexposed, or in other words, 80 to 89-year-old Social Security numbers. The writer at this point then interjects, other countries already enjoy just this kind of society in which there's no unique nine-digit number that holds the key to anyone's economic identity. The problem, she says, might not be imagining a world without social security numbers, but surveying other systems to pick and perhaps adapt the best ones. The U.S. doesn't have to totally reinvent the wheel here, said Daniel Castro, director of the Center for Data Innovation, a think tank. Rob Joyce, special assistant to the president and White House cybersecurity coordinator, suggested at a recent conference in Washington that an improved system might involve technology such as a modern cryptographic identifier. And in fact, other countries already embrace blockchain and biometrics as backbones for government and private sector systems. Often, he says, these tools are used in tandem with other authentication techniques to verify a citizen's identity, provide easy access to services, and keep a, listen up, my friends, permanent record of interactions. Whether these technologies now gaining momentum will prove enough protection or provide enough protection against future cyber attacks will be the story to watch over the next few years. Here are some of the ways governments outside of the U.S. have set up modern identity systems that allow citizens to share and protect their personal information, of which the writer outlines under a subtitle of Trusting the Blockchain with Identities. That begins by saying, one of the world's most developed digital societies is how Estonia, of all places, my friends, describes itself on its eEstonia.com website. After a nationwide cyber attack in 2007, can you see what's ahead for us, my friends? 145.5 million breached personal identities. I think we're well on our way. As they said, after a nationwide cyber attack in 2007, the government began moving towards a blockchain-based system developed by an Estonian company to ensure and protect its data and systems. Blockchain is a software that supports a sort of public ledger, albeit an encrypted one, that stores data that cannot be erased or rewritten without leaving a record of the previous data. Estonia's e-health authority is working on putting its citizens' medical records on blockchain. Dubai, another early government adopter of blockchain technology, plans to do the same with medical records and have all government documents on the blockchain by 2020. Estonian ID cards, which have an electronic chip, can be used to vote, bank online, get a prescription, file taxes, apply for state benefits, and much more. The cards require two PIN codes. The first is to authenticate an identity. The second acts as a digital signature. When the person is linked with whatever source they're using, the data is preserved on the blockchain. Estonia's government database system is based on a secure data exchange called X-Road, and citizens use their eIDs to access services. It's a sort of peer-to-peer encrypted information exchange between independent computer systems. The X-Road website notes that the Estonian-developed system is being used in Finland, Azerbaijan, Nambia, and the Faroe Islands. Japan consulted with Estonia in launching its My Number card, its first national digital ID program. Next, under the subtitle Voice Biometrics That Turn Identities into Sound, the writer discusses the fact that the Australian Taxation Office uses voice-based biometrics authentication for its call center and mobile app. Rather than provide a date of birth or a password when calling about your taxes, citizens can create a voice print and then identify themselves by saying, quote, in Australia, my voice identifies me. About 3 million taxpayers have done that, it says in this article, my friends. That's comforting. The writer then goes on to share that the technology was developed by Nuance, a Burlington, Massachusetts company. Nuance also has deals with Australia's Department of Human Services and Department of Immigration and Border Protection. Australia's intent, though it is not quite there yet, is to ensure that citizens have a, got this, my friends, unique identifier that they can use across all government agencies, says Brett Biernick, Director of Product Strategy for Voice Biometrics at Nuance. Biernick says that its algorithms can measure more than 1,000 voice characteristics to verify an identity. The writer goes on to say the Australian government is working to create a comprehensive digital identity system. Can you say Mark of the Beast, my friends? I think that we are definitely almost, if not already there. It just hasn't been implemented yet. Continuing on, the website for its digital transformation agency's GovPass project says that the users will be able to prove themselves by having an accredited organization vouch for them, such as a government agency or, in the future, get this, my friends, even their own bank. The project involves building new technology that will function as a middleman between a government department and an organization or another verifier of a person's identity. An electronic tick of approval from an accredited verifier will open up access to government online services. Starting in January, meanwhile, taxpayers in the United Kingdom use the mobile app of the tax authority, HM, Revenue and Customs, HMRC, have been able to enroll to use voice identity to get speedier service from the tax agency. Now, here, my friends, in our last subtitle, the writer touches on, no pun intended, the use of fingerprint and iris scans that turn bodies into identities, of which the writer begins by saying India's identity biometrics program is called Aadhaar, which means foundation in Hindi. Citizens can enroll to get a 12-digit Aadhaar number, which is issued by the Unique Identification Authority of India. You increasingly need the number. Listen up, my friends. This paragraph right here, this statement right here is very important. You increasingly need the number to perform transactions, such as opening a bank account or get services. So, it says, citizens are under real pressure to enroll. My friends, they're under pressure to enroll now. But once you're already enrolled in it and you got the chip and you got this and that, the next thing that you're going to be pressured to do is to take the chip in your body, or you won't be able to buy or sell. That will be called the starting of the Mark of the Beast under the rule and reign, open rule and reign of the Antichrist and the Antichrist system in the kingdom of the beast and false prophet. That is coming soon and very soon to an earth near you. That number is linked to a central database containing biometric information, including an iris fingerprint scan, demographic information, and a photograph. India's government has mandated that people filing their electronic income tax returns must link, listen up, my friends, must link their 10-character permanent account number, which is needed for many financial transactions, to their Aadhaar number. In another example of how India or India's new identity technology works, as shown in a picture that the writer shared, a migrant farm worker scans her fingerprints to register to receive a national identity card and number in New Delhi, India. The writer goes on to say such countries as Tanzania, Afghanistan, and Bangladesh have gone to India to learn more about Adler. Paul Romer, chief economist at the World Bank, has called it the most sophisticated system he's seen. The World Bank's World Development Report 2016, Digital Dividends, noted that a digital identification system such as India's Adler, by overcoming complex information problems, helps willing governments to promote the inclusion of disadvantaged groups. Privacy advocates have raised concerns about the program, which now has biometric data on more than 1 billion, with a B, my friends, people in its database. A May report by India's Center for Internet and Society noted that it has found public disclosures by 4 government portals of Adler numbers and other personal data, but has not found that the central biometric database has been breached. Isn't that comforting? In August, responding to legal challenges to the biometric program, India's top court ruled that citizens have a fundamental right to privacy. What a concept. That has been described as a potential setback in the government's plan to link more parts of citizens' lives, such as their mobile phone numbers and driver's license numbers, to their Adler number. And on that very one world ordered kingdom of the soon coming beast, or as he's called, Antichrist, note, I'll be right back after the break to share more important news and information concerning not only America's, but the world's soon coming massive disruption.
I was finished, game over, couldn't carry the weight on my shoulders. At my end, in trouble, knocked down on the ground, seeing double. But then your love opened my eyes, lifted me up, now I'm alive. I raise my hands to the sky, singing oh, 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 oh. Oh Lord, I'm a different man, you gave me a second chance. I was lost, I was falling apart, but you came along, you hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You came along, and you hit the restart. I was twisted, like Bad Religion, fully committed to my way of living. I heard the preacher, but never listened, on a dead end road without a mission. But then your love opened my eyes, lifted me up, now I'm alive. I raise my hands to the sky, singing oh, 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 oh. Oh Lord, I'm a different man, you gave me a second chance. I was lost, I was falling apart, but you came along, you hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You hit the restart. You came along, and you hit the restart. You do. You make
making me new. You make all things new. That's just what you do. You're making me new.
Oh, my friends, I love, love, love that song. And you know what? If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your one and only Savior, Lord, Master, King, soon coming Messiah, then He's hit the restart in your life. And I'm loving it because I like what the Lord does in making us new each and every day. My friends, we make a choice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day and each and every hour in that day. We make a choice by the Word of God and our hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, my friends, just before the break, we were pondering identity, among other things. So, does anyone remember the American Post 9/11 Real ID Act of 2005? Well, in case you are wondering, it's not dead. In fact, this next little piece tells us exactly what it is up to. Written by James Draper for Mall Online, dated just yesterday, October 17th, 2017, and is titled, Why Residents in Some American States May Soon Need a Passport for Domestic Air Travel. Of which Mr. Draper begins by sharing the Real ID Act was passed more than 10 years ago to crack down on fake IDs. He then goes on to say stricter standards are soon to be required before state-issued IDs are provided. He further interjects, my friends, that several states still haven't been deemed as compliant. Just in case you're wondering, the state of Arizona is, but the state of California is not, and that's all I remember. So, several states still haven't been deemed as compliant with the new standards. Mr. Draper adds this means that their residents may need to carry a passport to travel within the U.S. He is seemingly quite amazed at the fact that, as he puts it, they were previously allowed to use mere driver's license. Oh my goodness. It's only been that way since the beginning of time until now. Mr. Draper continues to inform us of this soon coming situation when he states, but residents of some U.S. states will soon require additional ID, such as a passport, if they wish to embark on air travel, even if it is domestically. He says that's the new procedure on the horizon for people from the states that have not yet introduced the standards required by the 2005 Real ID Act, which demands, perfect wording, stricter regulations for state issued IDs. Continuing on, he says the states that haven't yet fallen into line, each one now has, listen up, my friends, a grace period of 3 months to meet the revised criteria. He further states this deadline expires on the 22nd of January, 2018. It's finally here, my friends. If they don't move the date again, and if they don't, which I don't really think they will, we are headed for the mark of the beast in this place. That means those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be out of here because we're not going to be here for the mandatory taking of the mark of the beast, my friends, which is a doom to whomever takes it. Travelers from states that miss the deadline will risk being detained at airport security and prevented from boarding flights if they don't have a passport or other TSA-approved form of identification, such as a green card, border crossing card, or military ID. Mr. Draper states that this includes both international and domestic journeys. Did you know what a cross-border card is here in the United States, my friends? There's a thing called a passport ID that is in the form of a card, not a book. So you can have to pass in to places like from Mexico to America or America to Canada. There is what is called a passport ID card for your local travel in the Northern Hemisphere. This writer goes on to as well state that at the time of writing, according to Department of Homeland Security's website, only 27 U.S. states are compliant with the Real ID Act. Many are listed as being under review. He shares the legislation, which was established after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, makes it harder to obtain a driver's license with counterfeit records. Well, that part they could have sped up as far as I'm concerned. He goes on to say U.S. Congress passed the act 10 years plus ago, but it wasn't enforced until 2013. Mr. Draper ends his piece with this ominous statement. By October 2020, the entire country will need to meet the revised standards or face strict travel limitations. The U.S. Department of State recommends allowing up to 6 weeks for passports to be completed and returned, although people can pay for a faster turnaround of 21 days. So, my friends, with that said, after securing identities and medical records, what else do you think that the governments of the world, including the U.S., might like to secure? If you simply said all money, world currency, and financial transactions, you would be on the right track. And it is what has been somewhat outlined in our next short but very prophetic piece of the day, written by Mr. John Buck, October 8th, 2017, for the Cointelegrapher.com, of whose tagline is The Future of Money, and at the same time, whose title is as well presented to the reader in the form of a question, of which is, IMF could issue, international cryptocurrency to replace dollar. Of which the writer begins thusly by saying, according to the Wall Street Journal, the world may soon have an international cryptocurrency in response to Bitcoin. The story comes as a response to a recent recent comments by Christine Lagarde. She's the head of the IMF, my friends. Now, her name is Christine Lagarde. And I'm not going to guarantee you I'm going to call her that every single time in this article. So just laugh and know that I have forgotten. Anyway, she's the head of the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF. Encourages banks and governments to not shortchange Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Now, why would she be so interested in that? And it begins with the subtitle, Global Digital Currency Craze, which states the news should not come as a surprise after the recent announcement by the Dubai government regarding its intention to issue a state cryptocurrency. Are you listening, my friends? Further, recent news indicates a large number of banks anonymously supporting state-issued coins as the blockchain hype. Now, my friends, that sounds kind of down, but the word hype actually means publicity, buildup, or excitement. While the blockchain hype, or publicity, buildup, or excitement continues. Where are we headed in this world, my friends? We are headed to the end, not to begin again, but to the end. Are you ready? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your only way of escape? Because soon, my friends, he will have come and gone with those who belong to him, and you, who are not ready, will be forever left behind to come under the tyrannical rule and reign, the tyrannical rule and open reign of the Antichrist for a 3.5-year period, and end up taking the mark of the beast, my friends, because the fact is if you knew to be ready on this side of the rapture, but you're not, you will never let someone chop off your head on the other side of the rapture when the Holy Spirit's been taken out of the way and evil abounds. And you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, which will doom your soul for eternity to the lake of fire. My friends, it's time to start thinking about it now, because in the blink of an eye, it will be over one day soon. Under our writer's next subtitle, an odd question is posed. Decentralized centrality, of which the writer explains as such, the difficulty with a global digital currency is the centralization factor. A major part of the appeal of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin is the decentralized protocol, creating a truly free market where value is based purely on consensus without price fixing. Sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook to me, my friends. But a globalized digital currency, while providing decentralization security, would require the IMF, or, you know, the International Monetary Fund, to fix and regulate values in order to manage the flow of money in and out of different countries. The writer states such a system would run contrary to the underlying principles behind Bitcoin. My friends, Bitcoin is not a secret. It's not made up by some renegade underground people. It is the prototype for what they are working on to become the one world currency system that will be operated by the mark of the beast. The end. And last, but in no way least, our writer's last subtitle is riveting, to say the least, and is simply titled New Reserve Currency, and is where the writer states the dollar as the reserve currency for much of the world's transactional volume means that some major global economies, are you listening, my friends, may want a new digital currency to function as the reserve. The writer further states that the IMF coin, could potentially replace the dollar in that context. Should it, you know, the IMF coin, become widely accepted in such a case, he as well notes the dollar and other national currencies would be restricted to local markets. Some supporters of Bitcoin would argue that there is no need for such a currency from the IMF, since Bitcoin already exists and without the centralization risks. The greatest hurdle would be Lagarde and other economists embracing and using Bitcoin globally, but the jury is still out. Well, my friends, the jury, as our last writer just said, may still be out, but maybe not for long. As it is pointed out by our next prophetic piece of the day, written by Elizabeth Schultz, October 13th, which was Friday last week, 2017, for CNBC, of which is interestingly titled, We Are About to See Massive Disruptions, IMF's Lagarde says it's time to get serious about digital currency. The writer, Ms. Schultz, begins her piece by offering a quote made by Ms. Lagarde of the IMF that is as follows. I think that we are about to see, listen up, my friends, massive disruptions. Just think, she made this statement on Friday the 13th. That is like one of their biggest days, isn't it? I think, she says, we are about to see massive disruptions. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde told CNBC about developments in financial technologies. The writer continues by sharing that Ms. Lagarde didn't rule out that the IMF could at some point develop its own cryptocurrency. Ms. Schultz, the writer, as well points out in her piece, it's time for the world's central banks and regulators to get serious about digital currencies, according to the head of the International Monetary Fund. Ms. Schultz, to coin an outdated term, there again, no pun intended, further pens that global financial institutions are taking risks by not watching and understanding emerging financial tech products that are already starting to, listen up, my friends, shake up the financial services and global payments systems. According to IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde, who goes on to say, I think that we are about to see massive disruptions. She keeps repeating this, my friends. Lagarde told CNBC in a Facebook live interview on the sidelines of the IMF annual meeting in Washington, D.C. Asked whether she agreed with J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon's comments that Bitcoin is a fraud, Lagarde said it's important to look at the broader implications of technologies like digital currencies. She, Ms. Lagarde, that is, as well goes on to share, I think we should just be aware of not categorizing anything that has to do with digital currencies in those speculation Ponzi-like schemes. She said it's a lot more than that as well. Ms. Schultz, who is the writer, in her piece goes on to say, Ms. Lagarde didn't rule out that the IMF could at some point develop its own cryptocurrency. Ms. Schultz further reports, Ms. Lagarde, in other words, pointed to the IMF's special drawing rights, or the SDR, a currency the IMF created to serve as an international reserve asset that could incorporate technology similar to cryptocurrency. Ms. Lagarde is noted as saying, my friends, in 2009, when they started talking about the SDR, is when the Lord began to alert me to keep my ears perked up and always listening for what comes next concerning it. And look where we are today. The writer continues by saying, what we will be looking into, or Ms. Lagarde said this, what we will be looking into is how this currency, the special drawing rights, can actually use the technology to be more effective and less costly, she said. The writer, moving forward to a close, goes on to say, Lagarde moderated a panel discussion on Thursday focused on fintech or financial tech products and the role of central banks, featuring central bank officials and executives from fintech companies. Lagarde told CNBC she expects the IMF will play, listen up my friends, a role in regulating the fintech industry going forward. My friends, fintech industry is like your PayPals and your all these payment transfer things that people are using today. And every day, more and more, like, you know, the ones that are on your phone, like Apple Pay and Samsung Pay and so on and so forth. My friends, these are what this new fintech or financial technical field is all about. Ms. Lagarde was further noted as saying, "My hope is that we can participate in that process because I see that as a very, listen up, my friends, cross-border process," she said. The writer, Ms. Schultz, ends her piece by stating, "FinTech," Lagarde said, "is already causing disruptions in the financial service industry as new technologies lower the cost of financial transactions." She says, says Ms. Schultz, referring to Ms. Lagarde, pointed to the distributed ledger technology like blockchain that can help make the banking system more inclusive. Ms. Schultz finally closes concerning this matter at hand and is marked by this quote by Ms. Lagarde in regards to that which was just shared and is, quote, "I think of women in some of the developing countries that have to carry cash around who are at risk of violence and all the rest of it." She said, "If they can use their cell phones and operate in a much more discreet and effective way, it would be terrific." Do you see, my friends? Now it's moving to the cell phones. We saw this at the beginning of this year. The Lord says that the year 2017, by Him, my friends, has been mandated as being the dawning of the cashless society. And my friends, it's going to run like a wildfire has run up Northern California's coast. It is going to be in play, front and center, before you know it. And my friends, in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord says, those who are ready, watching, and waiting for His imminent return shall be changed forever. And those who are not are destined to take the mark of the beast and forever be doomed to the lake of fire. Moving forward in our next piece, we are met with just why the IMF wants to become involved in the cryptocurrency market and is laid out in an article written by Darren Pollack, dated October 16th, 2017, written there again for an online news publication called thecointelegrapher.com, of whose catchy tagline there again is "The Future of Money." And without further ado, my friends, this piece is titled "Why IMF Wants to Enter Crypto Market with Own Coin," of which the writer opens by sharing Christine Lagarde, IMF Managing Director, has had many positive things to say about the potential of digital currencies and their disruptive model. But she has now added that the IMF would not rule out creating its own version of it. Mr. Pollack states, "Recently, Russia entered the decentralized digital currency space," listen up, my friends, "with its crypto ruble. And it could be the organization, organizations as well as states see the value of digital currencies, but ones that they can control and issue." In a subtitle that states "about to see massive disruption," Mr. Pollack elaborates, "The IMF head has said before that she pictures her organization playing a critical role in regulating cryptocurrencies globally, but in a positive manner, as she seems to be on the side of Bitcoin." I did not get that idea at all from her, my friends, but that's just me. Mr. Pollack points out Lagarde is of the opinion that global financial institutions are taking risk by not watching and understanding emerging financial tech products and that are already starting to shake up the financial services and global payment systems. Quote, I think that we are about to see massive disruptions. My friends, these statements were just made within the last week. And this one just keeps going over and over again. I think we are about to see massive disruptions, Lagarde said in an IMF annual meeting in Washington, D.C. Continuing on in Mr. Pollack's next subtitle, IMF to develop its own, he notes, remarking on something that the IMF has already created, comparing it to digital currency, Lagarde said that the IMF would not rule out developing its own cryptocurrency in the future. She pointed to the IMF Special Drawing Rights, or SDR, a currency that the IMF created to serve as an international reserve asset that could incorporate technology similar to cryptocurrencies. What we will be looking for what we will be looking into is how this currency, the Special Drawing Rights, can actually use the technology to be more effective and less costly, she said. My friends, so our final question for today is that was a great interest in found in a piece written by Mr. Matthew Kazin, published May 10th, of which I'm not going to be able to get to today, but the title is very interesting, and it says, The End of Physical Currency Coming in 2017? Question mark. My friends, so you can see that it's all in place. I want to read the last line of this author's statement. Additionally, says the writer, The survey, which was put out by Bank of America, my friends, and was talking about how P2P payments, which are these cell phone payments and stuff like that, and these apps that you can get from your bank to transfer money and PayPal and different things, okay? He says the survey found person-to-person or P2 payments are becoming the new social norm across many generations, of which, my friends, I find to be most startling and at the same time very interesting. A very interesting statement just made by this writer. In light of the fact that I myself, by way of the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, reported to you in depth exactly that same fact back on June 21st, 2017, in a Streams in the Desert Live broadcast titled P2P, B2P, and G2P. My friends, if you have not listened to that broadcast, I highly recommend that you do, so as to shed a little more light upon the subject at hand. For the Lord God is not a man that he should lie. My friends, he has already mandated that the current year of 2017 was to be, and now most certainly is, the year of the dawning of the cashless society, and will soon, due to that which has been taking place behind the scenes and that which is shortly to come, will usher in, listen up, my friends, you need to listen to this, will soon usher in the year that will be arriving soon and very soon, and is called the year 2018, of which the Lord God has already mandated will be, my friends, he's never failed on one of these mandates, will be the year of calamity. My friends, the Lord God in his word has told us who are watching the signs of the times, that one day soon and very soon, for we are at 11:59 in split seconds on God's prophetic timepiece, the world as we have known it will be handed over for a period of 3.5 years to Satan's beast, false prophet, and Antichrist system, taking place just after the unexpected to the world at large, that is, return of the Lord Jesus Christ for all who are ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return in what is called the rapture or the catching away of the saints or his bride. My friends, Revelation chapter 13 outlines the events of the soon coming satanic kingdom of Satan's unholy trinity between himself, his beast, false prophet, and Antichrist world system, headlined by what is called the mark of the beast, which is the name or number of the beast or system, if you will, and is the number 666 or 666. Of which without no man might buy or sell, except he who has the mark. Of which, if taken, the Lord God's word says, they who receive it, will forever be doomed to the lake of fire. With Satan, his beast, false prophet, and all who have ever lived throughout the ages of this world and was of an Antichrist spirit, meaning one who's against the Lord Jesus Christ. With that said, my friends, today is the day of salvation. Be sure to get on your knees and with tears and a broken heart and contrite spirit, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself. Be ready, watching, and waiting. For the Lord Jesus Christ is about to break the eastern sky. And my friends, remember, if you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ now, what makes you think you will be doing it later in a place called heaven? Because you won't. And on that note, it's a wrap. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all, now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?